Hello everyone, this is Cody from the Rancor's Brothel. Welcome to our actual play of Impossible Landscapes. If you're new here, thanks for dropping by. You can find more of our content at rancorsbrothel.com, on the Rancor's Brothel Facebook page, or by following at Rancor's Brothel on Twitter. If you're a longtime listener, be prepared. You're in for a treat with this one. I've gushed over this book and will continue to do so over the course of this actual play, but Detweiler has created a real masterpiece. Last time I checked, Impossible Landscapes has a perfect score with dozens of reviews on DriveThruRPG. I've been reading it over and over, constantly finding some brilliant pieces of unique madness he's hidden throughout the game. And Arc Dream has really outdone themselves in terms of design. Honestly, it's one of the most beautiful games that I have ever read. I've known for a long time this one would be special, and it really is. So thank you, Dennis and Arc Dream, for creating not just the best Delta Green campaign I've ever read, but one of the best campaigns ever. I'd also like to take a moment to thank Jeff and Ian for their continued contributions to this one. Friend of the podcast, Ian Shannon, has written several musical pieces for this game and continues to advise us on ways to improve the horrific ambience for our listeners. Jeff volunteered to edit this one, and he's provided a lot of fun little moments that I think you're going to enjoy over the coming months. This podcast wouldn't be the same without their hard work, and I greatly appreciate it. I'd like to thank the players, too, though I doubt they would reciprocate. I'm assuming some of them are listening now, looking for clues they've missed along the way. We're still in the process of recording, and it's fascinating how the game night immediately following the first episode changes the whole dynamic. I look forward to seeing you all tomorrow night. That's enough for me. The house lights dim, the stage curtain opens, and a hush falls over the crowd as the conductor's baton raises. Deep breaths, everyone. It's showtime.
Warning, this podcast contains mature content, including scenes or descriptions of graphic violence, sexuality, and psychological trauma. Listener discretion is advised.
The Rancor's Brothel presents... Impossible Landscapes. A Delta Green campaign by Dennis Detweiler.
Welcome. So, welcome, audience, to Impossible Landscapes, which hopefully...
You're not supposed to say the name of the thing. It's Detweiler, remember?
Oh, no. They have subtitles. They will be subtitled when we release this, so the audience is going to know something that you guys don't know. By the way, the subtitles, chef's kiss, just beautiful names. So, Impossible Landscapes, in recording time, currently, while we are talking to each other, you get weird because you start thinking about when the podcast will actually release it. Theoretically, it will release about the time the hardback should be available, within like 3 or 4 weeks, at least at current time, which is only 2 weeks after the PDF was released. So, they just sent it to the printers last week. So, the first round should be available like May-ish is what they're thinking. But anyway... Impossible Landscapes has been something I've been following for, I feel like, 4 to 5 years. Detweiler's been teasing this for a very, very long time. I am very excited. I will be honest to you guys, I have not slept a lot in the last 2 weeks because I have done nothing but read this book over and over and over and over and over again.
I have seen you active on Facebook a lot over the past week, so...
You've not slept because you've been reading, or you've not slept because you've been reading and it gives you nightmares?
Also, yes.
Thanks.
Like, legitimately, I can't wait to get the physical copy. I don't know if we'll be done by the time I get it, because I did back it. Especially you, Lucas, I really want to share it with you, because I shared some with Dave. This is going to win Ennies. Like, people should read this and vote for it, because it's going to be amazing. Like, the layers of complexity, Flynn and I were talking about earlier, Delta Green and the way that they layer their books, the way they look is just, it's gorgeous. It's insane with the way they put those books together, and they took it to another level for this game. The casing changes. The coloring of the pages change. They get dirtier as things get horrible for the players. Like, there are notes written in the margins from crazy people, and those notes are in the index as handwritten notes. Like, it's bizarre. It's one of the most fascinating and creative things I've ever read as an RPG,
and it blows my mind. Like, I legitimately would have nightmares. I'd fall asleep reading this, and I've dreamed about this game for 3 or 4 nights out of the last 2 weeks. So, yeah, I'm stoked.
I'm kind of regretting rolling so well for something Cody gave me privately, as I spent the last 2 nights at work because we had 2 departments down, and...
Oh, so you've been doing some reading.
Yeah.
You've been doing some outside reading.
I've been doing some reading, some YouTube Perfect. Searches, and it's...
Can't wait to hear how that was.
I went down the rabbit hole. Let's just say that. Like, deep down the rabbit hole. Not just, like, the surface of the rabbit hole where you're, like, you know, just going...
No.
I jumped straight in and just fell to the pit.
This is... That's the surface of the rabbit hole. Like, legit. That's...
Like I told Cody, I don't know if Daniel wants to read this, let alone the character in character wants to read it. So...
Thing is with Delta Green is like Delta Green's already inside the rabbit hole. Like you start the rabbit hole here. Delta Green is like the G spot of the rabbit hole.
And that's fair.
You just keep
Lucas is like, I'm already in there. Like the taint is just a little ways away, right in.
I swear to God I hit it.
So anyway, I must say though that this is hands down a brilliant. Like I said, I've been following Detweiler's Patreon for years, reading bits and pieces of it, and I stopped reading bits and pieces like about a year and a half, 2 years ago because I was waiting for it to come out. Totally. So super duper stoked. Can't wait. Excited to have you guys around the table. I legitimately have thought about the players around this table and what we were going to do for years. And to throw out another thing. For Flynn, particularly since he and I have been in this situation before, I feel like the stage is set. It's like reading a script. I've just been waiting for the actors to take the stage and to see what happens next. It's that exciting bit where you read, and I'm like, I can't possibly read it anymore because I need to see what's going to happen. Who's going to improv? Who's going to come up with something that's going to blow my mind? So that's where we're at. I'm like excited for the first table read and to see what you guys do.
I've already forgotten my lines.
So let's go. Everybody ready to start Impossible Lands?
Yes. I'm looking forward to it all week, actually.
It is. The thing that I will say to folks on the podcast, again, it's very hardcore. It's very in-depth. It's a very intimidating campaign. It's not something I would recommend for beginners at all. But one of the biggest pieces of advice that I will start with, and it comes from Dennis Detweiler himself, and it was when I had told him I had trouble running Sense of Sleight of Hand Man. I couldn't understand what to do. It's very narrative, it's a little controlling, and it's hard. And I'm like, how do you do that? And he was like, players should always have agency. Players should always have choices. And he looked at me dead in the eye and he said, they don't have to be good choices. And that's like an encapsulation of what Detweiler does. This is a game of choices. They're not necessarily going to be good or easy. So
there's good choices, there's bad choices, and then there's ringing the bell.
First of all, you. Secondly, the first bad choice we made was signing up to play the game, I think. So let's just see how it goes.
For sure. You dumb bastard.
You, Dennis. Just going to get that out of the way now.
Preemptive.
Just Detweiler. Preemptive fuck Detweiler. All-encompassing for the rest of the game. I love you.
All right. So, that takes care of my first note. This game looks good. So, the date is the 28th of August, 2015. It's afternoon, depending on where you're at, relatively speaking. It may be late morning due to time zones. You get a ring on your doorbell. FedEx has dropped off one of the small FedEx envelopes. Contained within is an invitation to a birthday party. And I will read said invitation.
I kept thinking it was a celebration of life for some reason. I thought the guy was dead until I
read
it.
At a shitty Mediterranean restaurant.
Possibility.
So, I guess I should say each of the players have already been sent this information a couple of days ago. They all have had a chance to interact with me kind of one-on-one outside from the rest of the players. To get some other additional information. So I'm going to kind of review quickly what they all know, and then we're going to dive into individual knowledge from there, just trying to keep it streamlined for the player, or for the listeners, I guess I should say. So the invitation reads, please join us to celebrate the 51st birthday of our friend Richard Zialoni at the Gateway Bridges Restaurant, 9011 Potash Street, Boston, Mass., 02121. And it ends with a phone number. The players know I guess the players don't know anyone by the name of Richard Zieloni. But the front of the invitation, which is gorgeous, by the way, absolutely beautiful, sort of custom birthday invitation, all of which you guys should have in your clues folder if you wish to review it. The front of the card is embossed with a stylized green triangle. So they all know that the program has reached out, but none of them have ever been reached out to by the program in this manner before. So the common knowledge that you all sort of already figured out, we'll review that really quick. Essentially, all of you ended up calling the restaurant, which was a good idea since you're all spread out across the country. You know that the Gateway Bridges Restaurant is a small Mediterranean place in the Boston suburbs, kind of a neighborhood restaurant. I think it has a 4-star review on Yelp, as I recall. Free appetizers on Tuesdays and Fridays. Or buy one, get one free, I think is what it was. 2-for-1. You know that the reservation was made by a Mr. Marbus for September 1st, 8 p.m., so a couple days from now. You know that the Gateway Bridges restaurant, again, is a 50 to 100 table person, and that they've reserved a private party room.
Is it September 8th?
September 1st at 8. And then we will go to Jacksonville and Lucas, who made a forensics roll.
Sure did.
Just so you know, I am not revealing your character names unless I feel like you already know them.
Well, that's one thing I wanted to ask you, I guess. Like, I guess I'd have a question before we start. Are we, which I guess we might find out, like, since we're all not together, we probably don't have a cell yet, yes?
I have instructed each of you what you know about the program privately, strictly because you may or may not know other players at the table.
Yes.
If you do, I have let you know that.
Well, I just know, like, in the past, we've used cells and had code names and stuff, so I didn't
Correct.
Know.
Correct. If I have talked to you about that, then you know that. If I've not talked to you about that, then you know what you know.
Or don't know.
Correct. Okay. You know what you don't know.
Or you don't know what you don't know. I don't know a lot.
I don't know what I do know.
That's
worst.
A good Delta agreement.
I don't know. You can't handle the truth. I know that.
I can't read. So, I never learned to read.
So Lucas, your forensics role.
Yes.
What did you learn?
Well, I've learned that the invitation, as you mentioned, is quite exquisite. It's not something you would buy at, like, a standard store, probably handmade even.
Mm-hmm.
Not cheap. I've also learned that it is probably handwritten by ideally male, based on the handwriting itself.
Right.
And probably someone who has a bit of a shaky hand.
Mm-hmm. And you, I did look a little bit textually. You would know it does appear handwritten. So I know, right. I said before maybe, but it's not. And then in terms of your character.
You said it's not handwritten?
No, it is handwritten.
Okay.
I told Lucas maybe, but I looked later and confirmed it is handwritten. I think that was it.
Yeah, my other questions had to do with individuals at the restaurant itself.
Gotcha. So at this point, Lucas, who is located in Jacksonville, is making preparations for a rental car to arrive September 1st to the restaurant. So that's where we'll leave Lucas. Daniel.
Yes, just give me a second.
Nope, you're good.
Plan on driving from Jacksonville to Boston?
On one tank of gas.
Certain things you can't take on a plane.
Uh-oh.
I mean, you just leave your sex doll at home.
Damn it, I gotta have it.
Choose the smaller bottle of lube. It's under 3 ounces.
Oh, that's what they make fleshlights for.
You need a lot.
Just preload your fleshlight
really
with
big.
Lube.
We're not allowed to use possessive terms like your vibrator, just the vibrator.
You good, Daniel?
Yeah, just one more second. I'm looking for, I always forget the exact name of what the CID is.
The Criminal Investigation Division.
It's not division, is it?
Yes.
Okay. I thought it was something else. Okay. All right. So I'm ready now.
So you had an occult role. Would you like to describe for the audience the purpose of your occult role and what you found out?
Could I roleplay that instead, or you want me to wait?
No, absolutely. How would you like to handle it?
So, my character being suspicious and being a former agent of the CID, he didn't know this guy. He took to social media to try to figure out, you know, if he's worked a case for this guy. Didn't find any searches that came up of anyone with this name in Massachusetts, where he resides, or really anywhere else in America, because he doesn't know this guy. The next thing he did was call his former partner from the CID, Wesley Parker, and had Wesley look up some information for him, and Wesley couldn't find any information either, at least. I mean, he was probably limited. So then he was like, well, I'm going to call the restaurant and see what I can find there. And the restaurant probably gave me just about any information that it gave anyone else at this table. Just a description. They didn't know Richard Zedelli personally, and they told me that the reservations were made up by Mr. Marbus, and that struck something inside of him that wasn't particularly good. For whatever reason that name popped up, it bothered him. And my agent's name is Roderick Butler, by the way. I guess I didn't introduce him. The great-grandson of Twitty Butler, for those who know him.
Twitty, you son of a bitch.
Daniel's just letting out all the secrets.
Yeah, that's fine. I have a reason why I'm doing it.
Yeah, because you're mad that I won't let you play with Twitty at the table.
No, that's not at all. I have played with him once, and Lucas is one of Lucas's campaigns. So he met a someone, because Roderick is really into the occult, and he doesn't know many people who are into it as much as he is. But he met a previous guy that he's going to call up. And I'm not going to use his name for Flynn's sake. So he's going to give Flynn a call.
Okay. Do you want to tell the audience what you found out with your occult role first?
I was going to use that in the role play.
Sure. Yeah. No, absolutely.
Okay.
Flynn, your character's phone rings.
Do I recognize the number?
Yeah, probably. You've probably had conversations with Roderick before, at least in passing.
Okay.
The two of you have met, kind of like I've described before, as part of program stuff, and have sort of found a bond in things that are occult.
Okay, so he would probably be in my phone. So
yeah, that weird dude from Arkham is probably what you've got.
yeah. Y'all answer. Hello?
And this probably occurs shortly after everything that you and I talked about. So you had also similarly expressed a desire to call his character.
So am I out of breath?
Sure. Yeah.
Hello.
Hey, this is Roderick Butler. I don't know if you remember me from the conference a few months back.
Oh yeah, yeah.
How are you? I'm doing well. How about you? You don't sound too good.
Just some apartment building nonsense that they're dealing with.
Is this a bad time? I just wanted to chat some things up.
No, it's fine. What's going on?
So I don't have very many people to vent about this with, and you can call me crazy if you will, but I happen to receive a random package from FedEx for an invitation for a birthday party for someone named
Roger Zeloni.
I think it's Richard.
Richard.
Yeah, I think it's Richard Zeloni.
Must be different people. What is it?
Brothers. None of us have gotten this name right, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, you got the first name wrong. You got the last name. I got the last name wrong,
Rich,
when I was texting you.
I've never heard of the guy.
I don't know. I've seen it spelled about 16 different times, which is hilarious.
Wait, hold on.
It's
hold on.
Richard Zeloni.
Zeloni.
Don't we just got to carry his grandma up the hill where the onions are? Isn't that how you fix this? It's a Holes reference. Nobody got it.
I got it.
Okay. I think I got an invitation for a Roger, so I don't know what you're talking about.
I got the wrong one, guys. Sorry.
Well, either way, so I happened, because I don't know who this guy is, and I called the restaurant that the party was taking place at, and the waiter there, he was kind of smug and was, I don't know, it was kind of weird with me, because I was asking him who this guy is, and I mean, obviously, I was trying to figure out if the invitation was faked or not, or if it was sent to the wrong person. And he said that the party was was reserved by a Mr. Marbus.
Yeah, wild.
Wild, right? Okay, so did that ping something in your head too?
Yeah.
Okay, so I wanted to talk to someone about that because, I mean, you search that name online, and that's not a common last name. It's quite literally a demon the Lesser Key of Solomon.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
So what do you make about this? Is it someone just messing with us? 'Cause I feel like if you got the same invitation I did, and we're both big into the occult stuff, and someone just like is someone just playing a prank or what's?
So like this is from like the conference, right? Like this has to have something to do with the Hilton.
I mean, I don't know much about the Hilton, so...
You two attended a conference on the political and sociological effects of American soldiers long-term policing the Middle East. And you were both brought in for advising on that from your various skill sets.
Okay. You didn't give me that much detail, so... I mean, possibly. I don't see why else we would be getting this package. But... I mean, I've dealt with a bunch of occult stuff in the past, and I've had cases I've dealt with the occult when I worked for the CID, but it was all just, you know, bullshit, like minor people trying to, you know, thinking that they're occultists when they really weren't and didn't know what they were dealing with. But other than that, I just haven't seen something that has really gave me, you know, goosebumps on my arm because that is not a common last name.
No.
At all.
No.
Like, I tried Facebooking it, and I tried all their social medias, and...
White pages.
Yes. Nothing.
No.
Besides,
nothing.
Out of game, I did send Cody a funny picture when I, Daniel, tried Googling Morbus. It comes up and says Morbus Demon was the first search for it, and he had one friend.
One friend? Well, you know, you gotta have one if you're president of hell. It's kind of Tom.
I was just wanting to... Because, literally, anybody else I called about this would think I'm crazy, but, like... Because they don't know, you know, they don't know what I know.
Did you, so, like, whoever sent this, I mean, to me, it's a little on the nose.
It really right? is. It hits too close to home, as they would say.
Did you find person?
Person?
Yeah. Did you find?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Daniel, you would know. With your occult background, your character Roderick would know that Person is another demon of the 72 demons listed in the Ars Goetia.
Okay. I reviewed it, and 72 demon names are a lot to remember, so...
No, I'm letting you know.
Okay,
fine. Your character, would know. When he asks for Person, you would go, what? And then you go, oh, he's naming another one of them.
Okay. What do you mean by find Person?
Okay. Do you have a copier or a scanner?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead and make a scan, color scan of the invitation front and back.
Okay.
Stay on the phone with me.
All right.
That's his copier.
I think you need to upgrade that scanner, buddy. Sound
I didn't
rough.
Get I didn't get to choose what scanner I had. Okay.
Fair. Okay. Okay. So I'm just gonna tell you something. Feel the invitation.
Okay. So I'm gonna start. Rubbing mm-hmm. my hands on it.
Feel anything?
The invitation for the audience is framed. So what it is that you've kind of got a decorative outside border that includes a Delta Green sort of stylized logo at the top, and the frame has been pressed over the top of the invitation itself, and then there's a backing piece that is sealed on the back side. So when you feel it, it does have a... What I want to say, not a bunting, like a backing, a filler. There's something that causes it to be kind of poofy and formal in terms of its construction. So yes, you would feel it feels poofy.
Okay, so I'm going to feel that. And what does that strike about my character? Like, is there...
It's a fancy announcement.
Okay, so I'll relate that to Flynn's character.
While he's doing that, I'm going to set up... So I'm guessing that with my... What I do, I probably have like a way to record like audio and record my phone. So like whatever, I want to be able to record the conversation on my phone.
Sure.
Okay, like jack in real quick and set up a record.
Yeah. Okay. No, you can set that up.
Okay. Put it on like a speaker or whatever. Okay. I want you to like tear the frame, like just lift the lip a little bit.
Okay, I'm gonna start trying to peel for
like it. You're opening a letter.
The bottom.
Yeah, it does end up kind of destroying the border, but you can remove the border from the invitation.
All right, and then
see if there's anything in there.
Gonna try to wiggle my fingers inside and see, because I mean it's not open all the way, so it's gonna be kind of hard to, you know.
You find a piece of paper tucked inside the invitation.
Okay, yeah, I got something right here, and so I'm gonna pull it out.
And I've just dropped that in the clues box.
Let me take a look.
So the paper that's discovered is sort of old and yellowed. It is handwritten and definitely in a different script than what the invitation was. And it reads, "Our London business is good, but Vienna and Berlin are quiet. Mr. D. Lloyd has gone to Switzerland, and I hope for good news. He will be there for a week at 1496 Zermatt Street, and then goes to Turin and Rome and will join Colonel Perry and arrive at Athens, Greece, November 27th or December 2nd. Letters there should be addressed King James Boulevard, 3580. We expect Charles E. Fuller Tuesday. Dr. L. McCade and Robert Unger, Esquire, left on the YX Express tonight."
So, Flynn, you told him to do that to his invitation. Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming that both of you then found the same note that we're trying to get across.
So I would relay what I found.
And yeah, what it says. And I would be matching it with my own letter.
Flynn.
Yeah.
Roll sand.
Shouldn't be laughing because it's going to happen to me.
You lose zero from helplessness. So tick a box in helplessness. So you're getting closer to adapting to helplessness.
Nice.
As he sort of see, you sort of hear him. Yeah, I found this. You hear a
I'm sorry. I should have warned you about that.
Are you saying that to me?
Outside your apartment, Roderick, just like seven fire trucks on their way to a 5-alarm fire just zip by.
Oh, okay. So. And I heard those alarms in Flynn's background.
No, you heard them in your apartment.
But did I hear?
Absolutely.
Okay, yeah. And that's what triggered my sand?
Wait, so the alarms are inside my apartment?
No, they're...
There's a fire truck in your apartment. Roll initiative. You have to find it.
So what I'm thinking is if I heard that noise background in Flynn's phone, and then I heard it recently, I'm going to think that it's...
No, you did not hear it in Flynn's background phone. It happened in real life. You heard it drive by your apartment.
Okay, I'm not going to think anything about it. I'm just going to keep up my conversation then.
For sure.
I
should also add that this thing also has a stamp or seal in the lower right-hand corner that says around it person, P-U-R-S-O-N.
Before I continue with the conversation, do I recognize any of these names at all?
You do not.
Okay.
But what you do recognize, you recognize that this is what's called a request exemplar, Roderick. It is a gibberish portion of text that a suspect is often asked to write so that their handwriting can be compared for forensics evidence. So if you notice, all letters in all different combinations and all numbers are listed throughout that. For those of you who've ever done typing classes, this is a handwriting version of the quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog, period.
66 words per minute. Come at me.
There you go. You guys can continue.
So does this handwriting match with the invitation at all?
No, not even close.
It doesn't look like it, but I was just wanting to ask, so I didn't. Okay, so once you notice that and I pull it out and we compare that they're the same letters, I'm going to say, that's another sigil of a demon. This is definitely not a coincidence.
No. Would you have mentioned that it's a request exemplar?
Yes. Yeah, I'd recall any knowledge that I came up with after reading
it. Because I didn't get that. So do they usually make like multiple copies of this kind of document?
If requested, they would. But this is mostly just somebody wrote a ransom note or something. You would write this exemplar and then compare it to the ransom note, and handwriting specialists would be able to compare whether or not the writing was the same.
So is this like a quick brown fox? Like this exact thing is used often? Like if I went and typed in like the first two lines, would it come up as a request exemplar?
Probably not.
Okay.
Daniel just recognizes it by... Lucas, you could help me out here. Is it called Lordum Ipsum?
Lorem Ipsum.
Lorem Ipsum. Like, it's an industry type thing.
Yeah.
So, like, when I say Lorem Ipsum, Lucas knows exactly what I mean, but someone who doesn't...
It's a completely nonsensical Latin phrase.
Yeah, I get it when my students forget to change it on their papers. Yep. Take points off for it.
So, Lorem Ipsum is when they put in nonsense phrases to see text and how text will lay out on a page. It's a, you know, it's a layout type, InDesign type thing that they're doing. So this is a handwriting version of Lorem Ipsum, the quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog. Does Daniel know one that always starts as our London business? Probably not, but he recognizes it for its composition.
Okay. And so just to go deeper into context, or maybe I'm just not understanding it, they have a suspect write this out to
Correct.
Compare it with a ransom letter or whatever.
Correct.
Okay.
It's like when they did that to Richard Jewell. It's like, here's your bomb in Central Park.
Exactly.
They're like, he's the guy.
Okay.
They also
did that. Haven't seen that movie yet. Isn't it good?
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
They also did the, they famously did this with Clinton with his impeachment to see if the letters were actually written by him or not to Monica Lewinsky. They were comparing his handwriting and other things.
If only they had, you know, cell phones back then, he could have just texted her and deleted his messages. Man,
texting pictures of his dick.
And have a burner phone, you know? I mean, so easy nowadays.
The presidential burner.
The presidential burner.
I guess it probably still would have been flip phones,
though. Is that what
she
called it?
I guess it probably still would have still been flip phones, so the picture still would have been, you know, like not like 16-bit. I'm trying to, you know, trying to
love
load the
receiving
picture.
That big 12 pixely dong.
12 pixels of those is my dick.
My Motorola Razr.
So anyway, do you two have anything important to exchange now?
I mean, yeah. So you were saying you're sorry you were going to warn me about what? That you said that to me, right?
Is that now, okay. I'm silent for a second. No. Don't worry about it.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, we should do something about this because this is obviously not just a coincidence that, I mean, that we both got this,
yeah.
with this...
I'll leave you guys there.
Okay.
To let you sort of mull on that. Lucas.
Yes.
Your phone rings.
Number that I recognize?
No. Probably a California number.
I look at a voicemail.
Okay.
I don't answer numbers.
Same.
In real life.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. I answer it.
You can not answer it.
I'll answer it.
Okay.
For the narrative.
Hello?
Who's this?
This is Inez de Leon. Got an invitation. Your number was inside. I'm assuming you got the same invitation for the program.
Do I recognize this name?
Nope.
Sorry, it's Inez.
Inez. I mean, you should recognize this name.
I don't know how to spell that at all.
Should I?
I-N-E-Z.
Easy.
Like me, Lucas, personally should recognize his name?
Yeah.
I don't know why. I don't
know. Carry on.
I'm missing the joke.
You got invitation correct?
I did.
Seemed kind of weird, right?
It's pretty strange.
Yeah, did you call the restaurant?
I did.
Did you happen to notice anything particularly weird about the invitation?
Handwritten, shaky hand.
The fact that there are little marks above the letters help me on it?
Damn
Hold
it.
Hold on.
I did not see that. Can you point me in the right direction?
You? I like you.
So, the H in birthday, the E in friend, the L in Zaloni, the P in potash, and the M and E in Massachusetts. Both have little marks above them.
Dang.
I like you.
What about the little squiggly to the side of the Zaloni?
We decided that was a pube, remember, Lucas?
I did. I was like, it's either two L's or a pube.
We all have the same pube in the same place.
Does everybody
place.
Have the same pube?
I mean, that's weird. The trail off the end of the first P is weird. I mean, there's a lot of weird stuff about this, but...
It's all pubes.
But that just struck to me. I mean, obviously, whoever wrote this is sending us a message, and we don't have an idea right who wrote it yet.
Well,
yeah.
If it were me, I would assume Richard Zaloni may be some sort of strange... Is it an anagram where it's like the words are mixed up? Is that the right word?
Could be.
So perhaps it is a word that we recognize, but Personally, that's not my forte.
An anagram, I think, is what you're looking for.
Anagram is the word I used. I wasn't sure if that was correct or not.
Yeah. That is correct. You sounded a little weird when you said it. Anagram, I think, is what you're looking for. The Aloni might spell something else.
The envelope that it came in?
Correct.
Didn't have a name on it at all?
No. I definitely looked for that.
You did. I would like to point out, since we're kind of getting a lot of information here, and Troy made a very excellent call. I appreciate that. If you look in the upper left of the same image, you can also see where the invitation border is peeling back, and you can actually see the exemplar underneath it.
Oh, yeah, I didn't catch that when I looked at it.
You said that was where?
In the upper left-hand corner of the invitation image.
You can just... Oh.
Wait, you're on the letter, not the invitation.
Oh, that's why. I was like, wait a second.
So, when you're ready to play a game, Detweiler and I are here.
Yeah, damn it.
This is just part one.
There's also X in the middle of the triangle. Does that mean anything?
I don't know. Does it?
Well, there's also a thing at the end of restaurant that's like a little notch in the R.
Fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, there's all kinds of little...
Which isn't in the other R's.
Squiggly bits. I mean, the R's are written differently.
Yeah. I thought Richard was... I did suspect something about Richard, because the way that's written is...
The R's are written very differently.
Yeah. But I didn't bother to question it, though.
I apologize for interrupting. I just wanted to make sure that you guys were understanding the scope of what we're doing here.
Yes.
Look at the pictures.
I didn't notice those little dots.
I literally just did about 10 minutes ago.
I looked at this thing for like 20 minutes before I even replied to you.
I just was looking at it, and I'm like... Why is that above? I noticed above the P, and I'm like, why is it above the P? And I'm like, it's above. Oh, okay. Interesting.
So, just kind of an idea of how you can expect impossible landscapes to play out.
Yeah.
You two were talking about Richard Zieloni and the restaurant, I believe.
Right. So your plan is to get to Boston in a couple of days?
Yeah. Well, my plan was to scope out the restaurant, but this now changes my concept of the entire thing.
Yeah, you probably didn't recognize my number, but it's probably included in that with the invitation that you got. Slip with four numbers. You said four numbers on it, right? Three. Right, okay. So I'm assuming the other two are other people that we're going to be meeting in Boston. I don't know if you want to call them ahead of time.
Lucas, you have no idea what he's talking about.
There's a phone number at the bottom, but that was the phone number to the restaurant itself.
Alrighty.
So it appears you have a slightly different invitation than I do.
Fair enough.
Text him a picture of it.
Well, have you made plans for lodging or anything yet?
I was about to work on it. I'm sure there's a couple of hotels nearby.
Yeah. I'll try the other two numbers here, and we'll just be in contact. Maybe we can all just try to meet at the same place.
Probably a good idea.
All right. Sorry, I didn't get your name.
Deacon.
All right. Deacon, we'll talk to you soon.
With a G or a C or a K.
Deacon. D-E-C. Okay. A-N.
Wasn't that the guy from the NFL that slapped people on the side of the head? He was a defensive lineman. He'd slap them to disorient him.
Keep going. Keep trying.
No.
Did he hit you?
Deacon Jones. That was his name. He was
watching something.
Yeah, he'd run around and smack people on the side of the helmet and so he could get around them. Because it would make them...
I was watching something and the guy's last name was Deacon. And I was like, that's a cool first name.
Who's the black male man in King of Queens?
Oh, yeah.
The more you know.
Oh, wow.
He was also the first season villain to the 12 Monkeys TV series, which is fantastic.
Also the little brother of Keanu Reeves and Bill and Ted.
I'm just staring at this exemplar, just trying to find clues.
I'm looking for number, like numbers.
Call another number?
I'll try the next number.
Flynn, your phone starts ringing. You got a call waiting.
Hey, Roderick, I'm going to hang up real quick. I'll call you back.
Oh, okay. That's fine.
Beep,
We weren't having an important conversation or anything.
Not talking about demons or nothing.
Oh.
Well, I feel like that's normal in our field.
Hello.
Hello. This is Inez. You got the invitation as well?
Inez?
Yes.
I look back at the invitation. Inez.
Inez de Leon.
Not Marvis.
No.
Okay. Yes.
Find anything weird about it?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What'd you find?
Who are you?
I'm Inez.
Cool.
Inez de Leon.
You killed my father.
Prepare to die.
I remember that movie differently.
We're all part of the program. Come on, you know. Let's, like, no need to... I mean, obviously, yes, be paranoid. It's the program, but... I mean, do you want me to read it to you? Are you that skeptical? Like,
yes, I am.
And I'll read it to him.
Okay.
Anything different from mine?
You just read the invitation, right?
Right.
Nope. Exactly identical to yours.
Did you call the restaurant?
Yep, I did. RSVP'd.
It's nice. How'd you get my number?
It was with the invitation.
Along
with two other numbers. I already talked to another man.
What's the other number? Read it to me.
I will read him Lucas's or Deacon's number.
You don't recognize that number.
Read me the other number.
I will read him Roderick's number.
It is Roderick's number.
Have you called him, the second number?
Nope, you're the second person on the list. So you're the second person I called.
Huh, okay. Great. Yes, this invitation is odd.
Yeah. So again, what did you find odd?
That...
Is yours peeling like mine is? It's weird.
Okay, hold on. Make a photocopy of it. Do you have a color copy?
I will make a photocopy of it.
If you would like to continue through the same rigmarole, yes, you may.
Are you in it near anything flammable?
I mean, I'm in a building. Those are pretty flammable.
You didn't ask me that. You didn't ask me if I was around anything flammable.
It's cool.
I didn't give a about you, bro.
It's cool.
Apparently, it's cool now.
I'm an innocent.
Oh, all right, he's go ahead lady. and just peel it back.
All right,
just finish that peel job.
Do so as
checking that I'm recording.
Yep, you're recording. You find the exemplar on the inside.
All right, I will look at it and read it. Is
our London business good?
But Vienna and Berlin are quiet
as always.
Yes, you find the exemplar inside.
Does that any of that make sense to you or mean anything to you?
Maybe.
Cool. And that seal on the bottom, it's interesting, right? Person. I know that name from somewhere.
I flinch.
It hasn't been said three times.
Did I'm listening. Just listening.
I think your skill is good enough, Inez. You would recognize person. And the symbol from the Ars Goetia. And your forensics is also good enough to know that this is an exemplar.
Okay.
So you don't need to ask Flynn those questions. You realize this is an exemplar, and you realize that there is a demon symbol in the bottom right.
Apparently I'm the only one who was not on the cultist in this game.
I talked to Troy about this. It's really funny on a spreadsheet laying out your scores, because I don't know if it's the way I play the game and you guys have adapted your scores to what you think I'm going to ask for, or if you guys, like, there are certain things that it's just like, this is a thing I have to have, and you all have at least like 20%
yeah.
or something.
Yeah.
Do you happen to notice the marks on the letters on the invitation? Spells out
the pubes?
Help me.
Wait, what?
No, the pube in the corner.
No, there's little like dots above some of the letters in the actual like body of it. But yeah, there's some weird scribbles and stuff too that are kind of weird.
Flynn, you haven't mentioned your character's name yet, I don't think. Have we mentioned your character's name?
No.
Yet? Okay. Nope. So I won't use it, but your character also sees those dots.
Huh.
So I'm assuming that somebody sent this invitation, coded the help me message, probably put this exemplar in there that they were made to write, I'm guessing. That makes sense. And sent it to the four of us.
And gave you our numbers.
Yeah, I don't know why I was picked. Lucky me.
I hope you're the healer, bro.
Nope.
You do have other things, Troy. Just there is a little bit more in that message. You should definitely read the Facebook message I sent you. I don't know if you're being sneaky or not. Which, if you are, it's fine.
I'm not.
Inez, I feel like you're holding something back. You can tell me anything.
There was more than just their numbers on that page.
My measurements.
Your how small?
Wait a minute.
Girthy, though.
We already said you like a snugger fit.
Yep.
Unless I'm full of crap. I haven't reviewed that message in a while, but I'm pretty sure I gave you a little extra thing.
The only other thing that we haven't, I guess, really pointed out was the please confirm guest list. So you'll want to probably call the restaurant again and just make sure that you let them know you're coming.
I did. I mentioned that I wanted to RSVP.
Okay.
At this point, we've kind of got you all together. So if you all want to group think, group chat, I feel like this is kind of what I wanted to cover. Everybody's kind of got their bits. So you guys feel free to do that. I'm going to get a Coke.
Okay.
So, I mean, if anyone didn't get what my role was that I succeeded on, it was this stuff about the demons that I mentioned with Flynn. I figured it'd probably be better to roleplay it than to just be like, oh, this is what I found out.
Yeah, no, that was good.
Yeah. I had the demon, and then I got antsy and just tore it apart. So,
I probably would have mentioned to your character, Flynn, that I do own a bookstore. So if we need to do any type of research, I can probably either have the book or can get access to a book.
Yeah, I have actually probably reached out to you for a book. And like, I probably have a book on special order that I'm waiting for from you. Okay. So we've probably been in contact.
Because you know what? I did not do any research on person. So I'm going to look that up now. Oh, there it is. Is it P-U-R-S-O-N?
P-U-R-S-O-N.
Scrolled right to it. That's kind of weird.
The Marbus name... It's a character from... I kept hearing Morbius, and I was like, that ain't...
Well, yeah, I heard I kind of thought that.
Jared Leto.
Marbus was a character in the Ninja Gaiden games. Yeah. Like a bad guy.
Ooh.
I wonder if he was like an Oni? Like a demon? I don't think so, but...
Was he a brony?
He might have been.
Ah.
Was he a brony?
Was he a brony? A brony.
No, brony.
Huh. Okay, so we have... Two demon names, someone who is calling for help and is at least somehow involved in demonology and likes to use the names or...
And sigils.
And sigils. The at sigil least, throws me off. Like, the one. Mr. Marbus is cute, so yeah. Having the,
but
the,
having the, actual
the foil
sigil,
stamp is a little weird.
One of y'all need to make a roll on that. There's symbology in that symbol that's got, in that seal, that's got to be more important than what it is. Like, it's obviously the seal of person.
Yeah.
But there's... There, I mean, there's, I mean, a, clear, there's Grady a clear on cut it. Image on the seal that's got to
okay,
be something.
I'll push him a little bit more when he gets back.
I mean, there's the, like, Templar cross.
Yeah, the Templar, but and like, yeah, like, there's something there.
I mean, when we get together more, I'll probably talk to you guys, or at least especially Flynn, more about the demon and what they are, just because we're into that thing, but it just depends on how us meet with you guys as well.
Well, and you missed it, but I've got a decent occult score, too, so...
Oh, so did you know about Marbus, too, as well?
Okay. I only have a cult because I took a thing.
Yeah, that's fair.
In fairness, this character was created, like, 3 years ago, so...
Mm, nice.
I mean...
You remember the game where Josh wanted to shoot a kid?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's from there. The Lone Survivor.
Oh, God, that's right.
Wait, which one?
The one where Josh wanted to shoot a kid?
Sentinels of Twilight. Sentinels of Twilight.
Oh, I didn't listen to that one.
God, I completely forgot.
I haven't listened to it yet either, but I know that Josh shot a kid.
Because I could have sworn you were...
No, Josh tried to shoot a kid. Dave actually shot the kid.
Oh, God.
I thought you were up at the end of that game. I guess not.
I suffered pretty well.
He's probably got some disorders.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice. Or did you say you're a she?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's been like 3 years, man. Sorry, I just did not catch it.
No, I know. I wouldn't have either, but...
Oh yeah, we already finished the game.
Oh good,
we cracked the code.
Mr.
Marbus is actually person.
Perfect.
And then he's also leads Rex Taekwondo, or was that Lucas's character?
Lucas's character.
Lucas's character is Rex Taekwondo from Napoleon Dynamite. So another thing, I kind of want to go back a little bit. One thing I would have mentioned to Flynn while we were still on the phone, because, you know, we kind of cut away and someone didn't let us finish our conversation.
Gosh.
Damn.
I mean, he took the call, so I blame Flynn.
Well, yeah, but we cut away to you guys while we were still talking.
Just started one of them telephone three ways.
I would let him know that, like I said, I mentioned to Flynn about my previous cases, occult cases that I've dealt with in the CID. And I would have let him know, which he probably knows too, is that Marbus can take the shape of a human per the summoner's request. So I'm not saying we have to be wary, but we should probably keep that in mind just in case something crazy is going on. So Mr. Marbus might actually be a demon.
It's the perfect disguise. What should my fake name be? My name. They'll never know.
They'll never think of it.
I mean, and... common people wouldn't, though. I mean,
it's true.
So, what do you four now want to do? We've gotten you together. We've reviewed the information.
So I assume Troy calls me. We go through the same bull.
I would stress and then probably text Deacon, but and stress to Roderick. Call the restaurant. Make sure that you actually like let them know you're coming.
Yeah, I didn't RSVP. The guy just thought I was weird, apparently. So
yeah, call the restaurant back. Let them know you're coming.
I don't know what the f*** you said, but I was like, no restaurant manager is going to be like, yeah, that's normal, and then just f***ed off the con the conversation.
Well, I think you may have mistaken something I was saying out of the conversation for in the conversation. So, I mean, I could see that, but because the guy told me, I was like, or he told me that Mr. Marbus set up the reservations, and he says, does that help you? And out of game, I was like, probably not, LOL. So, you probably mistook that for me replying.
He was like, very rude,
sir. Did you guys all get Diaz, too?
What?
You guys all get Diaz as well? As the person who answered the phone at the restaurant?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I can't remember. Manager. I think so.
It's not that important, guys. Yeah, you don't
it's super important.
It's not that important. It might be. Who knows?
Yes. Eduardo Diaz is the manager, owner, operator of the restaurant.
But before I got off the phone, I would try to ask Flynn's name so that I, you know, have a name.
It's Sam.
He's lying.
Sam Flynn.
Who's that?
Sam Flynn.
Someone else on the call? Is that Rick's Kondo?
You Google the number and it pops up his business.
Rex Kondo, 2 stars.
Man, 2. That's
really good advice, but a little molesty.
You got a third number to call, don't you?
Him.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're not going to play that out because we're just going
to. I feel like we've gotten to that point.
Yes. Yeah.
I figure I'd like to know what you guys are going to do about September 1 at 8 p.m.
So here's the thing. How far, because I tried Googling it. And I couldn't
How
get...
far is your fake place from Boston?
Yes.
Boston's not that big. What's it take? Maybe an hour to go from one end of Boston to the other? From Massachusetts to the other? An hour and a half? 2 hours? That's I don't know.
Right. So you're in Massachusetts?
I'm in Arkham, yes.
Okay.
But I don't know where... Because Arkham's a fake city, so I don't know where it's at.
We'll assume that you're 90-minute drive.
90 minutes? You said an hour.
I don't know how big Massachusetts is. End to end, it's probably significantly
farther. Massachusetts traffic, man.
I tried to Google it, but...
should have gone on the BART or the L or the whatever the, you know, the Metro. There's a song about the Metro in Boston. I just don't remember what the hell it's called. Get a f***ing duck boat.
Here's the thing is I was going to suggest that they could stay at my place if they wanted to, if it was close enough. If it's not, then... We're going to have to agree.
It's close enough within a drive. Like, it's not going to be 4 hours. I mean, Massachusetts is not big.
I will 100% crash on your couch because I am not paying for a hotel room.
I would assume that I have at least an extra bedroom, at least one maybe.
Then if we can coordinate an address between the four of us, then that's what we can do. That's fine. We can all
We can meet me. I literally live up at the second floor of my bookstore. So, I mean.
Gotcha.
Which I also run with my grandpa, so, I mean, it's not like, you know, I own my own bookstore, because...
Wait, Twitty?
No.
Twitty and Sons?
Twitty is my great-grandfather.
Oh, okay.
I tried timing it, so Twitty could be my grandfather and still alive, but that's...
Is Twitty who you played in New Orleans?
Yes.
Okay.
But you replayed him in...
Yes.
Tatters?
Yes, I played him in Tatters, too.
Yeah.
Tatters, too. The Tattering.
But
let's not do that.
I tried doing the math, and Twitty was too old to be my grandfather for me to be the age I am now. So he's my great grandfather.
That was a fun game to run. I enjoyed it.
It could have worked. You would just have to be like 76.
I mean, yeah, but for the age I chose is what I'm saying.
So
yeah, I would invite all you guys to crash at my place. Let you know that I have a spare bedroom, a couch. You know, someone's probably got to sleep on the floor. Or bring a futon or something.
Couch sounds great for me. Dibs.
Fine on the floor.
I'll take the spare.
Okay. There we go. We got a meeting place and we got sleeping arrangements.
Are you all arriving at Arkham on September 1? Are you getting there a day before?
Probably a day before.
Yeah, I'd clear with Roderick, but I'd probably arrive a day before.
Yeah.
Because that would give you essentially a day and a half to get there.
Sure.
Roughly. Okay. So August 31 days. In August. Sorry, I was thinking September. So you get there all between, like, probably evening of August 30th, so that gives you 2 days. You all are standing in the same room together at the same time. Would you like to describe your characters? Daniel?
Yeah, sure. So Roderick is, he is a man in his early 20s. He has, like, a muscular build to him. And you would think that he either works out regularly or that he has in the past and his frame has kind of just stayed. You would notice him. He carries a handkerchief on him because he has a lot of allergies and he's kind of sickly. So he always carries a handkerchief on him and, you know, he's always blowing his nose.
You're the Daniel Jackson of our crew.
He is also, from what you can tell, very perceptive and indomitable as well. What else can I give about him? He wears glasses. He usually has, I mean, from when you guys met him, he has a little stubble going on, 5 o'clock shadow. You guys are aware when you arrive that he does own the bookstore downstairs. And
how old is your character?
Me?
No. Or him? Daniel.
32. Why, is there something wrong?
Wait, I thought you said early 20s.
He did.
Oh, sorry, I meant early 30s.
Oh, my okay. I'm trying to say, like, I'm hanging out with this youngster.
I am sorry, yeah. So he is in his early 30s, and he is of, his nationality is American, so.
Lucas.
Yes.
Would you like to tell us about Deacon?
Deacon is 35, I think I went 35, sorry.
35.
Deacon's 35. Average build, probably a little bulkier considering his profession. Keeping in shape, in fit shape at least. Not massive, but in fit shape. Square jaw, military haircut, a couple of tattoos. You might notice one of them is a memorial as well.
Okay. Inez.
Inez is, you know, in her mid-40s, she doesn't give her exact age because, you know, woman never does. Hispanic background. Kind of tallish for a woman. Slender, slightly muscular build.
Flynn, would you like to describe Samuel?
Sure. Sam is 31 years old. He is has a big, bushy black beard. Hair, a little thinning towards the front, but kind of longer in the back. Kind of sometimes wears in a ponytail. Wears a beanie a lot.
Rest in peace, Brody Lee.
Yeah, a little bit. He's probably like 5'10", 5'11". Looks built, but it's kind of like the built of a person who works at a craft brewery. Like, you know, it's... There's not a lot of power behind it, so, but
like a hipster build.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
He's kind of like got like that hard fat,
almost like a dad bod ass.
Yeah. That hard, like a powerful build.
So what, are all of our characters just like kind of buff?
I think it
appears,
yeah.
It appears that way.
I mean,
I didn't actually.
Look. I wouldn't say mine's buff. I'm more.
No. Yeah. I have a strength
of
10.
Mean, Lucas I'm didn't either. He said he was more fit. Yeah, so
I'm
no,
thick.
You all have decent scores.
None of us are out of
shape.
We're
all in shape. We just drink a lot of beer.
Yeah.
Oh, one thing you guys know about Roderick is he does carry a flask on him, and you guys do see him take it out periodically since we've been hanging out. So
it's lean.
Like in the last 5 minutes since you walked in, he's pulled from the flask just 14 times.
I mean, I probably have, to be honest.
I would show up with a couple growlers.
We need to look
I mean,
up,
Mass has some good breweries.
We need to look up some breweries in Massachusetts, give them a shout out, and they'll sponsor, you know, the podcast.
Shout out to...
Here we go, Troy's.
Oh my gosh, I'm forgetting them all.
Ah, no!
Sam Adams, that's microbrewery.
Rheingeist, I'll take their money.
They're
in Cincinnati.
Ohio.
I had one, and it's seeping out of my head right now. I went on a brewery tour, like, 4 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago. With some buddies, and we hit a bunch of breweries in Mass and then Vermont.
Nice.
And there were like three really good ones.
I like Mass. Magic Hat. They're in Vermont.
Granville's in Vermont.
There we go.
But I don't know if I've ever had a beer in Mass from Massachusetts.
Best barbecue I've had in my life. Place in Massachusetts.
Nice.
Outside of Boston.
So you have a day and a half, roughly, give or take, you know, 48 hours.
So I'm probably going to
Treehouse, maybe.
Oh. Well, I guess I would. I guess I mentioned that to Flynn on the phone already, so I'm not going to have that conversation again. The thing about Marbus being able to take human shape, if requested by his summoner or master, whichever you want to call it. But we talked about that on the phone, so never mind. Go ahead. I don't have anything else that I wanted to discuss immediately.
I'm going to call the restaurant.
Sure.
Ring, ring, ring.
Yeah.
Hi, I just wanted to make sure that you knew I was going to be present for Mr. Zaloni's birthday celebration on the 1st.
Sure.
Incidentally, do you have a policy about, like, bringing, you know, outside beverages?
I mean, we don't necessarily encourage it.
Well, me and Z, we have this, it's kind of like running joke with this one kind of whiskey, and I wanted to, you know, celebratory, do shots.
Sure. I mean, I think as long as you're not, I mean, obviously, restaurant, we have strict restrictions on alcohol consumption, but as long as you guys
are... Yeah, we will be responsible.
Getting out of hand.
I do want to know, I'm going to go pick it up tonight, how much I should get. How many people are expected?
Very good.
Good question.
Yeah.
Thought about that at the start of this and then forgot it, but I intended to, like, scope out the place, so...
I didn't really care. Roll a... It was Slick Flynn.
They call me Slick Flynn.
Give me a...
You need to make that a character name in the future. Slick Flynn.
Give me a D100 roll.
Looking at 43.
We don't normally, like, tally reservations. I think we've had 3 or 4 people call in, maybe.
Oh, okay.
God.
Just the small bottle, then.
Oh, yeah, are you going to relay this information to us?
Yeah.
I'm not going. Nope.
You're the only one that didn't call the restaurant?
No, he told me. I did call the restaurant. Oh. I didn't RSVP.
You get the sense, though, that...
But then Troy called me. And...
You have a human. Like, this isn't, like, reservations at some, like, 5-star restaurant that has a 2-year wait list.
Yeah.
Like... You're calling your neighborhood Applebee's and saying, hey, can you have a table in 2 days for me? And they're like, yeah.
You said it was a party room that holds up to 150 people.
Yeah.
No, the party room holds like 12 to 15 people. The restaurant holds 50 to 100 people.
I guess maybe I misunderstood what you said. I thought you said party room holds 100 people.
That's what I got was 50 to 100 for the restaurant.
The party room is just, like I said, this is like an Applebee's. Like,
it's the kids' party room.
So you're telling me.
Cinema in Plainfield.
So you're telling me. We're potentially the only guest going.
Unless everyone else there is very rude and not RSVPing.
And no one knows who either of these people are, Mr. Marbus or Richard. No?
I don't know shit about
like Google an anagrammer thing on my phone and like insert the name like good, Richard Zaloni.
Good luck.
And Zaloni. Like, does it come up with anything?
You can put it into Google if you want.
Good luck. I have tried.
Okay.
I mean, go for it. I mean, I'm not trying to discourage you.
Yeah, I did it. I did the same, but nothing came up.
Like I said, I Facebooked Marbus, and the first thing that came up was Marbus Demon.
Marbus Demon.
Does anybody have any kind of computer?
Troy, you can roll search.
Does anybody have any kind of computery background?
No.
Do not.
Awesome.
I almost took computer science, but I did not.
It's an ought 8.
Oh, you know what? I do.
Cool.
You begin fiddling around, trying some anagrams. Playing around, you're not able to come up with anything. You do happen to start searching Zaloni specifically, as opposed to searching Richard Zaloni.
Right.
And when you search Zaloni, you realize that Zaloni is the color green in Polish.
Our title track and additional musical arrangements were provided by friend of the podcast, Ian Shannon. Find more of his work at sleepfortheweary.com. Like what you heard? Check out more episodes online at rancorsbrothel.com or the Rancors Brothel on Facebook. You can also interact with other listeners at the Fans of the Rancors Brothel Facebook page. Want to contact us? Reach out to @rancors_brothel on Twitter or via email at therancorsbrothel@gmail.com. Most of all, keep circulating the tapes. Much love, everyone. We'll be right back.